2 Kings chapter number 5. We've been talking about thriving in a foreign land, and I'm going to make like this is a 5,000-seat auditorium, and that it's filled to capacity, and that everybody in the room wants to hear what I have to say, and everybody said, hey! 2 Kings chapter number 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because, verse 1, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids, and I think this is an important phrase, and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, that is the king, saying, thus and thus said the little girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Israel said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed. Look at this. This is important. And took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Well, he brings the letter from the king to the king of Israel. The king of Israel tears his garment and says, you're asking me to do this? What do you think, I'm God or something? Is he trying to pick a fight with me? And then Elisha, the man of God, I love the way it calls him, verse 8, the man of God. The man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. I don't think he's being braggadocious, but a prophet was one who spoke God's word to God's people, was in connection with God. That he's basically saying that there is a God and he's still working through his people. Verse 9, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. He would have had men accompanying him with swords and with armament, and it would have been an impressive sight. And they show up, look at this, it says, to the door of Elisha's house, verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you shall be clean. Verse 11, but Naaman became furious and he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel, those cesspools? Could I not wash in those rivers back home and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Watch this. One of his servants, who was a wise man, came near, and he said to him, my father, respectfully, if the prophet had told you to do something great, you would have done it, wouldn't you? How much more then when he says, wash and be clean? Wow. Verse 14. So he went down, say it with me, he went down. In more ways than one, he went down physically, but he humbled himself and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. Remember back in verse 5 what he had brought? Silver, gold, changes of raiment. Here he says, go ahead, look in the chest there, and you take a gift. Look at it. Please take a gift, verse 15, from your servant. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, wow, that's full of meaning, I will receive nothing. Say it with me. I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth. Huh. He was all concerned about a muddy river. Now he wants to take some mud home with him. Amazing. For your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. And I add the word alone because it's there in the background. Verse 18, Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Amazing. Now he sees that as something that is wrong. He wants pardon for it. He's kind of called upon to do this, but he's having heart struggle about it. So he's asking God to pardon him. Verse 19, and then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. Now here comes our text, verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, notice Elisha is the man of God in verse 8, and Gehazi is the servant to the man of God. Look, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I'll run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, liar, saying, indeed, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. So Naaman said, please take two talents, not just one, take two. And he urged him and bound him, two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and handed them to two of his servants, and they carried it on ahead of Gehazi. Verse 24, and when he came to the citadel where the house of Elisha was, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Verse 25, now he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said, where did you go, Gehazi? Where did you go? And Gehazi said, your servant didn't go anywhere, liar. Say it with me, liar. Verse 26, then Elisha said, look at this. Did not my heart go with you when the men turned back from the chariots to meet you? Well, I wasn't there physically, but I saw what happened. Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Question mark. Therefore, now watch this. He makes it a possession. The leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you. But not only to you, look at this, the effect of his sin, your descendants. What we do matters. And to your descendants forever. And Gehazi went out from Elisha's presence, leprous, as white as snow. Wow. Anita, would you be our voice this morning, please, ma'am, and ask God's blessing on what we're about to do? Amen. Thanks for lingering with me over the last few weeks in this text. We've been focused on little girl is what we named her because that's what the Bible calls her, the little girl. A little girl who should have been bitter and angry and unforgiving exhibits the character of Jesus in an Old Testament context. And she expresses to her master her concern for his leprosy and gives him a solution. There's a prophet back in the land where I come from. She wasn't just merely surviving in a foreign land, as that's where she was in Syria. And in someone else's house, she had been taken from her own family. But she was thriving. You see it in her attitude towards her master. You see it in the way she handles herself here. She's not angry. There's no bitterness. There's no unforgiveness. And I would linger just a little bit longer in this text to remind us that there is something else that's missing in her life, and that's no expression of self-centeredness. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was obedient even unto death, death on a cross. But God highly exalted him. She did not live her life self-determined. It was rather God-centered and God-determined. But I'll tell you a story about this little lady lurking in the shadows. Self was there. I call it the GE virus, the GE virus. How many are with me? Hopefully you can follow me upstairs. The GE virus. Say it with me, the GE virus. There's some things worse than COVID. There's some things worse than the flu. There's some things worse than the Nile flu. There's some things worse than the swine flu. In this case, it's the GE virus, the Gehazi virus. I posted that last night and got a curious question mark, a series of question marks from Karen. She was, what do you mean? Is there something else besides COVID that's lurking and we don't know about? Because I offered a free diagnosis for this morning, and I offered a free vaccination this morning. Let's see if we can buy into this and see what I'm saying. Do you know what Gehazi's name means? It means valley of vision or valley of sight. Hang on to that. We'll come back to it. The valley of vision is what his name means. And he has the wonderful privilege of being Elisha's servant. Can you imagine what that would be like to follow a man of God like this around? He had 14 major miracles that are recorded, double portion. 14 miracles as compared to 7 miracles with Elijah. He is a magnificent man. Even when he dies and they throw his body in a cave and leave or bury him in a cave, they throw a dead man in, and the last miracle of his life comes after his life when he's dead. The man hits his body and comes running out of the cave. He goes in dead, comes out alive. This was an amazing man that he's with. And he has privy to all of those miracles. He gets to see all of that. Can you imagine what that would be like? He is here in the house with this man. But this man, although he is named Valley of Vision, is blind as a bat. I'll sink in just real quick. His name means Valley of Vision, but he's blind. Watch Gehazi. Watch the Gehazi virus. And this is a means of self-diagnosis. You can diagnose yourself here. I don't have any tongue depressors, and I don't have any blood pressure cuffs with me. So you're going to have to diagnose. Look at somebody next to you and say, he's going to give you the symptoms. You'll have to diagnose yourself. Look at this. You know, James said, and Dale and I were talking about this morning, every man is tempted when he's carried away. Listen, carried away. It's like it puts a hook in you and drags you along. He's carried away by his own desires, lusts. Lust isn't always a negative word. The spirit lusts against the flesh, but it's desire. It says that a man is carried away by his desire. A woman is carried away. There's a strong driving force in the desire. There is Gehazi standing next to Elijah, or Elisha rather, and he's watching as Naaman opens that chest, and inside all the gold glitters and the silver glitters and the garments glitter, 10 changes of garment. And his desire is stirred. Like David when he looks down and sees Bathsheba, and his desire is stirred. Like Ananias and Sapphira, desire is stirred. Be careful, Elias, what you see. Well, the Father up above is looking down in love, so be. Remember that little song we sang in Sunday school? John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is of the world. When Lot saw the land was well watered and good for pasturage, it says he chose for himself. He chose or himself. When Eve saw that the tree was good for, when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, she took of its fruit and ate. I ask you a question today. What you been looking at? What you been looking at? What little morsel has the enemy put in front of you that you've been looking at that you think will give you some pleasure? When David was on the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and then he took her, and then he lay with her, and she conceived. James says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away, carried away by his own desires, and enticed. Listen, and when desire has had an illicit affair with the will, when it conceived, it gives birth to. You toy with it, just keep looking at it, keep meditating on it, keep thinking about it, and you'll wind up in it. I say, are you listening? Look at somebody next to you and say, don't go to sleep, the best is yet to be. That's his desire, but look at his decision based on that desire. He said, verse 20, I will run after him and take something from him. It's based on what he saw. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. When Satan tempted Jesus, he brought him to a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, I'll give these to you if you just take a moment here and bow down and acknowledge my superiority. If you just go ahead and acknowledge that I'm the worthy king of all of this. If you just worship me. And Jesus says, not on your best day. I worship the Lord God only, and him only will I serve. Here's a man making a decision based on what he saw in a chest. How many of you know that those things can blind us? Sparkle, the value we attach to it. I'm tempted to just give you a bomb here, and that is, it's amazing how we fail to see what we have while we're looking at what we don't have and want. Got a good woman at home, and we go looking somebody else's wife, somebody else's husband. I know there's 5,000 in the building, so one of you got to be guilty on that. It's a disease. It's a virus that's common to the human race. Look what he does here. Look at his Gehazi's deception. There's his desire, there's his decision. But look here, he uses devious methods. If you've got to use a lie to get what you want, probably what you want is not rightly yours anyway. If God didn't give it to you, you don't need it. If God didn't supply it, you don't need it. Paul said, I've learned to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It'll keep you out of trouble. Somebody said, I'm afraid of losing my autonomy. You don't lose your autonomy. You gain the wisdom of God by living according to his edicts, his word, his presence, his spirit. You gain the knowledge of God, and God can see the end of where this thing is leading. To get what he wanted, number one, he lied to Naaman in the name of his master, Elisha. My master sent me. And then he fabricates a story about two prophets or sons of the prophets who came and who need some help. And so could you, he just gives this wonderful story that is absolutely a lie. And then to guard what he got, he lies to Elisha. Come on, this is the guy, this is the guy who sees things that are not yet happening. Why is it you think he's not going to see you going do that? God's not blind. He saw you creeping that back door. He saw you erase that and write something else in its place. He saw, he sees. He's a God who, valley of vision, valley of sight, Gehazi, valley of vision, what's the matter? Why did you think you could just lie your way out of this as well as lie your way into it? And then there is his disregard. Well, you know, most of all, and I almost skipped this over, he lied to himself. One thing, lie to other people, but to do that, you got to lie to yourself. You got to lie to yourself and make believe you're going to get away with it. Some people seem to get away with things. But how many of you know there's a judgment day where we stand before God and he evaluates us and he deals with us? And then there's Gehazi's disregard. Yep, look at it. Gehazi's disregard. Here he is standing in the presence of Elisha. Naaman shows up with his... How many of you know he saw Naaman's leprosy? How come he didn't see Naaman's cleansing? He was blinded by what he was looking at. He was looking at that gold and that silver and that raiment in that chest. Do you think there ever were moments of regret in his life when he looked back and he said, you know? Because here is Elisha who followed Elijah and got a double portion. I'm just thinking out loud. Could he have got a triple portion? Did he cut him? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have, but you would not. You missed the day of your visitation. Paul talked about being the chief of sinners because he had been fighting against God. Do you think there are ever regrets in hindsight that we could avoid by having clear sight looking forward? Look at this. What did Elijah's double portion cost him? It cost him farm and family. He burned the plow he was using and the oxen. He made a barbecue out of them and fed all the people. What did it cost Elisha? It cost him keeping his eye on Elijah. I don't know. Do you think he slept with one eye open? Didn't want to miss the chance because there was something really valuable hanging on the outcome? Here he is on the horns of a dilemma. Do I get some rest or do I just stay awake and keep vigil, watching, waiting? Some of us need to just realize that prayer meeting we've been having every day, we need to keep on doing it. There's some things that you repeat and you keep doing. It's not insanity. He dipped 7 times. It didn't happen the first. What do? You continue faithful to God. You stay faithful to God even when you don't see results. Elijah just kept pursuing. And one day it happened. He saw him go up and the mantle fell. He saw where it fell because he was watching and he grabbed it. Your answer's coming. You just stay faithful. You keep praying. You keep seeking God. And then there's Naaman. What did Naaman's healing cost him? It cost him his pride. What did it cost me? It cost me my pride. It's still costing me my pride, that stinking pride. What did Gehazi's wealth cost him? His health. Let me ask it again. What did Gehazi's wealth cost him? Oh, he got 2 silver bars and 2 changes of raiment. If I stood him up here today and you ask him, Gehazi, was it worth it? What do you think he'd say? No, it wasn't. There are people sitting at home this morning because they're getting over their hangover, getting over their drug deal. They got to go look for some more, spending their hard-earned money. Is it worth it? Before you make decisions, you need to kind of look down the road and see what this is going to look like tomorrow. Before I make decisions, I need to look down the road and see. See, I know I'm preaching to you so you can take this to the people who need it. I'm telling you, because tomorrow you're going to preach this sermon to somebody. They're all in a morgue with what's in the treasure chest. They're just looking. They don't realize that what they have is better than what they're putting themselves in line for. They don't realize, yeah, it's tough where you are. You know, he may think, well, I get overlooked. Elisha gets all, and I'm just here just delivering words and carrying staff. That's all I ever do is carry this, carry that. Do this, Elijah. Here's my chance. I'll tell you what, the devil's a liar. Jesus, you can have all this if you just... Here's a man with a, in the Old Testament, named Esau, with a birthright, double portion of everything. And guess what he sells it for? A pot of beans to satisfy a momentary hunger. Guess what? You're going to be hungry again tomorrow. Was it worth it to give up your double portion? Is it worth it to give up your walk with God? Is it worth it to give up your reputation? Is it worth it to give up your family? Gehazi's wealth cost him his health. Not only his health, but it cost him the health of his family. If you look at that verse there, it says in verse 27, it shall cling to you and your family. Some of you have suffered from what your parents did to you or how they led you. The drug addict in the family, the family split up because of an illicit affair. It affects the kids. It really does. We need to ask ourselves, what are we gaining and what will it cost us? Would you say that out loud with me? What will it cost me? We give no thought, or he didn't at least give any thought to why Elisha refused Naaman. So if other people who call believers are avoiding those things, and just maybe there's some lesson in there for us. I say, are you listening? If others are leaving it alone, then we might all want to ask, why didn't you take that, Elisha? Why? Because what goes with it? It's like buying Cracker Jacks. There's something else in the box. It's unseen, perhaps, but we called it a prize. There was something else in this box. Elisha calls it Naaman's leprosy. It's like he owned it, like it was his possession. And I don't know, it seemed to be attached to this stuff that was in the box some kind of way. So when you get the silver, you get the leprosy too. Well, what a bargain. I see that smile, Brother David. We're on this, aren't we? You know, I've suffered from this disease. It's called being brain dead. Look at somebody next to you and ask him, no, don't do that. Are you brain dead? Are you brain dead? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You mean you're gonna trade what you have to get some silver that comes with leprosy? Oh, what a bargain. Wow. We got better sense when we go buy a car. We kick the tires. We look at the brake pedal to see if it's worn out. We see if there's slack in the steering wheel. We raise the hood. We don't know what we're looking at, but at least we got, yeah, we examine those things before we pay big money for them. I lived in New Orleans. They took and they moved all the people who were homeless and whatnot. They moved them away from the tourist area down on Decatur Street, which they moved them again. But go and ask those guys, how did you get here? I remember asking one guy, I said, what happened? And he said, my wife left me, my partner and my wife ran off together, law practice, and took all the money. I bottomed out. Let me tell you, you need to get yourself a record player in that song that says, thank God and Greyhound they gone. If she wasn't of the quality that she would leave with your money and with the man, you don't need her. A young man wrote me the other day, the girl he was going to marry, she decided not to marry him. Good girl. She decided, she got the right to decide not to marry. And he said, I'm miserable. And then he had a dream one night, and in the dream she had run up to him and she was all excited and about being together. He said, I woke up this morning out from that dream feeling good. And I was thinking, I don't want to ruin his day. I wrote him a note after some dialogue. He opened the door for me. He wanted to know something. I said, okay. Your joy and your peace is only as stable as its source. The joy that's here today because you had a dream in which you dreamed what you wanted. That's what Jeremiah, I think it was, or Ezekiel said. He said, a hungry man dreams of eating food. We dream up our own answers. Let me tell you something. If she said no, then you're going to have to leave this in God's hands, and you're going to have to grieve your way through the loss. Understandable, it hurts. But you need to get on with your life. You don't need to put a post office, a mailbox here and get a permanent address, because you'd be miserable the rest of your life. Somebody say it with me, let it go. Get your eyes off what's in the box and get your eyes on the miracle that's standing in front of you. There is Naaman, and he is clean as a baby. A miracle is taking place, and he can't see it. He sees what's in the box. There are people like that in church. They're always bemoaning what they used to have, and they're not moving on with God. They're always talking about the good old days and where it used to be and how it happened when they were singing 155 on pew 2. God moved. God's doing something new. You need to get with God if you want revival. Revival's not in the backyard. Revival's in your future. It's Christianity getting back to normal. This man whose name is Valley of Vision, it's a contradiction. He was blind as a bat. He couldn't see the privilege he had of being in Elisha's house, of watching miracles that were the hand of God at work. He didn't see what he had. He was blinded by his own desires, by his own lusts, by his own, and he was drugged by those desires. You can say no to those desires. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him. That means there's a choice. It's not that those things won't come. It's he could have seen the silver bars in the box and he could have gone, no way, Jose, just like Jesus did. He could have looked at the raiment in the box and said, no way, I'm not giving up what I have to get that. Learning to be content with what? Oh, that's great gain. It'll keep you out of trouble. Come on, somebody, say amen. I look at this, and I'm going to save this last text. This is my final point this morning. This is one of them long sermons, point-wise. But I find great lessons in this man's life. Look at his disappointment, finishing up here. He disappointed God's purpose for himself. Was he possibly to be an intern to Elisha like Elisha was to Elijah? But he fails. He not only disappointed God, he disappointed his master. He used his master's name in vain. A lot of people do that nowadays. They use God's name in vain, and that's not using GD and other cuss words, and it's saying God said something when he didn't. I'm not saying that other doesn't violate that command, but people do it in church all the time, have no problem saying God said when he didn't say. I'll leave that alone. Everybody got quiet. He disappointed himself. Don't you think he was disappointed when this was all over? He hid that goal away. If you're going to have to hide something, you can't even use it, why get it? Come on. How many of you know those desires, we go brain dead, we go blind? What about old Samson? He went blind naturally, but he was blind way before they blinded him. Here's a woman. Every time she asks you what the secret to your strength is, these guys jump out of the closet and jump on you. and they get beat up until she wears him down. Don't you think? I mean, come on, 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. Come on. How many times is this? He was blinded by his own desires. Don't you think when he was there walking around that grist mill, bound and blind, that he regretted he ever got in touch with Delilah? Oh, well, I'll leave that alone. He disappointed himself. He expected the benefits of wealth and cost him his health. He expected the status of a wealthy man, and instead, he took on the status of a marginalized leper. How many remember what they had to do? They had to wear a mask. Oh. They had to wear a... The government think they came up with this. Lepers had to wear a mask and go around crying, COVID! COVID! They had to go around crying, unclean, unclean. That's what they did. Now here he is, a man who is a servant of the mightiest prophet in the Old Testament, miracle-wise. And he winds up being a leper who leaves the presence of the man of God in the house, living there with the man of God, wearing a mask, crying unclean. He thought he'd be able to enjoy Naaman's wealth, but he suffered from Naaman's leprosy and without the hope of cure. You read it again. It's right there in the text. It's in verse number 27. Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants. Say it with me, Lord. Yes, amen. Quit that. Forever. Well, so what's the big deal, Lewis? Let me just encourage you. Before you make a decision, you might want to take time to see what it's going to look like 10 days from now. Before you decide what you're going to do, maybe you need to get some godly counsel, like from the Word and from some other believers. And before you take something, you might want to find out what goes with it. Come on. You need to find out what goes with it. I have to admit, and I'm finishing, I have to admit that the reason I know so much about the Gehazi virus is because I've been infected more than once. Come on now, don't y'all look at me like you never had a bout with the Gehazi virus. It's called self, with a capital S, a capital E, L, and F. And when given into, it leads to ruin every time. When you put I in run, the word spells ruin. When I put I in the run, self-determination. I need God's wisdom to know how to live. I need God's light to be able to see the path I need to walk in the midst of a dark world. I need that. And so I think we need to wash our hands of the self life. You need some sanitizer. And I think we need to distance ourselves from that, and we need to wear gear that will protect us from it. Guard your heart with all. This, they're not even sure if this works, but I can tell you this. The Bible says, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. We need to guard our heart. The enemy is after your inner man. He's after your faith in God. He's after your integrity. He's after your character. He doesn't care what he has to do to destroy it, and he will offer you whatever it takes. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to make him the main thing. And that's what Paul says. The leadings of the Spirit. If you do that, you follow the Spirit's leadings, and you will not experience the devastation and disappointment of a self-determined life. I'll close with Psalm 1. I promised I would. This is my third promise. Psalm 1. I said I was. Now I am. There's a difference. Say it with me. He didn't lie. I don't want to be a Gehazi. I was closing. I am now closing. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. And then catch this. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. That brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, God will bless him and he will prosper. Some of you have been faithful in your giving to God. Some of you have been faithful in saying no to God or by saying yes to the enemy. And you look at what the results are in your life, and you may not see the financial prosperity you expected to come. But how many of you know it's not all about this life? Some people live for this life only. That's the stuff in the chest. The seed fell on ground where it sprung up, but the cares of this life and pleasures and choked it out. The man who meditates on the word day and night be like a tree planted by water. My grass in my yard did real well this year because of the rains we had. Acorns everywhere. And them crazy coons still come knocking down my bird feeders. But listen to what he says about the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. Come on now. This is eye-opening here. He tells you that it shall prosper. Whatever he does, it shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Right off the bat, which way you want to go? What's in the box? Or God's way? they're like chaff. I mean, you know what that is. When they would winnow the wheat, they would break it up, and the husk would come off, and the seed is heavier, so they would get down in a depression area, down in a low place, a hole, and they would take and they would throw it up in the air, and the wind would take the chaff, the husk, and blow it away, and the grain would fall back in, and so they didn't have to go through there picking out the chaff. He said, that's what the ungodly man is like. He hadn't got any weight to him. The wind just blows him here and there. And Paul talks about that in Ephesians. They're blown about by every wind of teaching. You need something stable to keep your feet planted. And so when the winds blow and the storms come, unlike those trees that fell all over the place around here in Laura and that other woman, the storms. Look at this. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment. Consequences. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows personally and intimately is the idea, the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Well, how'd you do on the diagnosis? And did you catch the cure? Keep the main thing the main thing. Say it with me, keep the main thing the main thing. There's an old chorus that says, my eyes are on you, my eyes are on you. Yes. Good word, Brother Seymour. My eyes. If you got to look this way and that, then you don't need to be reaching in the box. The Lord will supply my needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. Father, thank you this morning for speaking to our hearts from your word. Something of a corrective word, something of an instructional word. You're telling us how to avoid these traps of the enemy. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own desires. God, help us to just really examine the desires of our heart. What are we after? If we would pursue you the way that Gehazi pursued Naaman. Here is Naaman pursuing and ready to give up what he has to gain what he can't buy. And here is Gehazi giving up his valuables to get leprosy. It just, open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Help us to see where the enemy is trying to lead us astray, where he's trying to entrap us. Help us, Lord, to wake up. It ain't going to turn out the way we think it will. We'll be miserable in a year. We'll be miserable tomorrow if we make the wrong choice. We make the wrong choice. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you got a chance. You don't lose anything by serving him, by making him the Lord of your life. You gain. Paul said it, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For me to live and for me to die is all about Jesus. Everything I've lost that I had gained, I consider it to be rubbish that I may know Christ. If you're not in that kind of relationship with him today, then you can be. All I am is a voice crying in a COVID world. And the way to peace and joy and right standing is Jesus. How's the other working? How's the stuff out of the box working for you anyway? Isn't it about time? Isn't it about time you said yes to his callings, his pleadings, his dealings? May cost you your pride, like Naaman. But it may keep you from leprosy, like Gehazi. And it might bring you into a new world and a double portion of God's Spirit, like Elisha. What's your choice? Choose wisely, because it's not just about this moment. It's about tomorrow and eternity. Choose wisely. Choose wisely. Choose wisely. Well, that brings us to the close of our service, but if there is anyone here today that needs prayer for anything, we're here to do that with you. If you need us to pray with you, we are here to pray, to believe with you. If you want to come, I'll risk laying hands on you. I would love to pray with you today. Whatever your need might be, would love to pray with you. Would love to pray with you. Anybody else want to join this sweet lady and myself today? Yes. Yes. Good.